Hello and welcome to another episode of Banking on Information. Today, my guest is Rohan Shah, who is a partner at Simon Kucher in the financial services practice. Rohan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Dadgo. Pleasure to be here.
We'll start with that same question that we ask everyone. Why, Rohan, do you do what you do?
My background is in computer science and operations research. And so I naturally gravitate towards solving complex data-rich problems. I enjoy working with large data sets, messy business questions, and then applying analytical rigor to practical decision-making. And what really excites me is helping financial institutions cut through complexity, finding elegant, structured solutions that unlock commercial impact. Financial services touches almost everyone, yet too often we see that the decisions that shape these products and experiences are not as thoughtful or customer-centric as they could be. And so I'm very motivated by the opportunity to influence how customers interact with their banks and to make those experiences smarter, fairer, and more aligned with how people actually behave.
So you are by heart a problem solver. You like to go after complex problems, help people fix those. And as an outcome, you want to make sure that customers get a better experience. That is a great why. Now, what do you do at Simon Kucher?
At Simon Kucher, we go a little beyond monetization, right? Pricing, revenue optimization are core, but we also help banks deliver the right product to the right customer segment at the right time. My work specifically spans across retail and small business banking products. It's checking accounts, savings deposits, mortgages, credit cards, products that people use on a daily basis. My focus and my expertise is around the topic of rate management. I've worked with banks and institutions globally on pricing topics, both sides of the balance sheet, so deposits and loans. What really excites me is how even small improvements can lead to major financial impact. We've seen too often our clients focus first on compliance and risk, leaving customer needs as a little bit of an afterthought. Now our approach is always customer first, blending this quantitative rigor we have with behavioral insight. And we help build solutions that are not only analytically robust, but also commercially viable, operationally sustainable.
So you are a trusted advisor to financial services executives, and you help them think through how to make better decisions based on data. And making these small tweaks can actually go a long way, both for the financial services company as well as for the end consumer.
Yeah, that's correct. For me, no version of the future is less analytical. I think we're just moving in that direction. And where we help our clients is create these more data-driven, analytical-driven tools that can help them make the right decisions. Right?
We'll talk about the future in a minute. But first, I want to understand how your customers talk to you about how they get value from working with you. What do they say after you finish an engagement? How do they talk about the value that you bring to them?
Before going into the specifics, right, I think the first thing I will say is that it's for us, it's not just about short-term gains, right? The clients we work with walk away with not just a one-time answer or a one-time recommendation, but rather with a capability, right? We embed decision frameworks, analytical tools, so that they can continue generating value long after our engagement or project ends, right? The goal is to leave clients with a lasting muscle, not a one-time recommendation. In diving a little bit into the specifics, when I do the rate management type of work that I do globally, I have seen anywhere between 8 to 20 basis point in margin improvement, depending on the interest rate environment in the country or region that I am working with, which translates really into hundreds of millions in annual impact for the larger institutions. We've helped clients because our approach is very customer-centric and customer-first. We help clients improve customer lifetime value, right? This is one of the metrics or KPIs that we are using to measure success. And we do this by using smarter segmentation, better tiering, more personalized rate strategies. To give you a couple of examples of projects we've done recently, we worked with a client to redesign their great offer framework, simplifying frontline decisions, increasing wallet share by almost 20% in the first year itself. So these are the types of impacts that our clients or values that our clients see after projects or engagements with us.
I think what you're mentioning is also very important, that it isn't just a one and done, but you actually create a capability that then creates value even when you might be moving on to something else. The capability you've built actually creates value long term. That is very valuable. Now, I like to do this thing called futures thinking, and you're already referencing the future a little bit. So let's do this. Let's think about what a possible future could look like. So if we think 10 years out, so 2035, how do you see the future of financial services? What are your thoughts on that?
It's an interesting question. It's obviously a question that we think about quite a bit. I think about quite a bit myself. I think broadly, I think banking will be hyper-personalized. It's going to be, I guess for lack of a better term, it's going to be invisible, and it's going to be embedded in daily life. You already see a little bit of that, but it's really going to be much more so embedded, invisible. I think static pricing tables, static decision-making, broad-based offers, are going to disappear. So I think that's the first thing. From a banker's perspective, right, I think decision-making will need to be real-time. It'll need to be deeply data-driven. Bank will be expected to act on signals, not just rules. Products will need to evolve dynamically based on individual behavior, goals, and context, right? So it's going to have to be very dynamic, very personalized, right? Trust and transparency, I think, for me, will become differentiators. Now in the world of AI and automation, customers will expect efficiencies for sure, but also expect fairness, expect explainability, and most importantly, they will expect value alignment. It will need to be a situation where it's a win-win for the banks and their clients. But then the future demands obviously action today. So we are helping clients invest in these architectures, these real-time analytics, this smart segmentation that's very, very dynamic. And we're helping shift mindsets from, I guess, what's the risk, right? Which is the way a lot of bankers think today, to what does the customer need or what will the customer need? Too many institutions are compliance first and customer second, and we're trying to reverse that. It's in 10 years, banking is going to have to be client first or customer first always. I think the big winners in 2035 will be those who build the capability, not just the product.
So very hyper-personalized, very focused on the consumer need first, very data-driven and real-time. That all sounds very interesting, that possible future in 2035. Now, what can we do today to get ready for that future?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a mindset shift, as I was mentioning. I think it's moving beyond just a risk or compliance-based thinking more in terms of what the clients are looking for, identifying from a segmentation perspective, moving beyond a demographic-based segmentation to a more use-based, needs-based segmentation. It's about laying the foundations today. Tools and technologies are evolving at a very rapid pace. One-to-one pricing or one-to-one marketing were buzzwords 5 years ago. They're not buzzwords anymore. They are a reality today already. I think it's moving more and more in these directions. I think tech companies are entering the financial realm now. I mean, we see that with the likes of Amazon and Apple. I mean, most people don't know it, but I almost always think of Apple as sort of the largest fintech firm there is. And that's only going to accelerate in the future. And the customer experience that tech firms provide, and you compare that to the experience being provided by legacy banks, and I think the winner is clear. So I think you're going to have to realize that there is a long way to go and really start making those changes now to be ready for the future, right?
How do you see that working with most traditional banks have a lot of legacy systems? How do you see that working? How do you see them move on from that or adapt that to get ready for that future?
It needs to be thought of as a journey. We're not talking here about a one-time core replacement or anything like that. It needs to be thought of as a journey. You can start to make changes slowly but steadily. You already see that lots of legacy banks launching their speedboats, launching flanker brands, things like that, that actually provide that user experience, right? That's comparable to the neobanks or fintechs or tech firms. It's about building some capabilities on top of your existing legacy systems or even acquiring capabilities, buying capabilities that are middleware solutions that may sit on top of your existing IT infrastructure that may help you execute faster, more nimbly, right? So it's creating this, identifying where you want to be 10 years from now, creating a roadmap, and then successfully embarking on that, implementing, executing on that. It needs to be done in stages. I have not seen yet an example of a bank that goes in for an all-out replacement of their systems and is successful. So I think it just needs to be identifying what needs to happen first and then doing that.
So not a big bang, but making a roadmap and thinking ahead so that you can work towards that and also create that mind shift from not just compliance and risk, very important, but also that customer mindset.
Compliance and risk is always going to be important, as you said. You always got to do a little bit at the very beginning and throughout the journey, continue to do red flag analysis to make sure that any solution that you're building obviously is compliant from a regulation perspective, a risk perspective. But that should not be the first thing that you think about. I think that's a little bit of a mindset shift that we're looking
at. That's probably a great point to wrap this up on. Thank you very much, Rohan, for being on the podcast today.
Again, absolute pleasure, Rutger. Thank you for having me.
And until next time, choose to be curious.